back, folks. So that video that we just played has been going viral with Shlomo Kramer, a Israeli cybersecurity expert, saying we have to get rid of the First Amendment in order to protect it. But he goes beyond that. He gives you the whole blueprint of the whole strategy. And he lays it out like, point by point. And, you know, this is because this has been planned. And now whether he is the spokesman who's out there to, you know, give this message, or whether he's just relaying what they're working on behind the scenes, it's not really supposed to be public, but it kind of doesn't matter if it is, because what the hell are you going to do about it, right? You're going to sit there and take it, aren't you? He says, first, we need to control the platforms, right? They're doing that, obviously. They have the the chief of the Jewish diaspora at Meta. She controls censorship over Facebook and Instagram. And of course, one of the first things she did was conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. So anybody speaking out against Israel was considered a hateful anti-Semite and banned from speaking. TikTok, of course, implemented the same thing as soon as they were forced to be sold by the Trump administration, obviously at the behest of the Shlomo Kramer types out there, forcing China to sell TikTok to the same conglomerate that now owns CBS. So they are getting control of the platforms. Obviously, when Elon Musk bought X, there was a giant advertiser boycott organized by the ADL and other Jewish organizations in order to get them to agree to certain algorithmic tweaks in order to silence people. So step one, control platforms. They're very much on the way for that. Then he says we need to stack rank authenticity. And all that really means is digital ID with a social credit score. Stack rank authenticity. Authenticity, are you who you say you are? Are you biometrically tied to whatever account you're using? That's digital ID. Stack ranking, judging that person's beliefs, giving them more of a platform, allowing their content to be seen by more people, or you disagree with them or they disagree with you, or say things that are outside of the singular narrative that they want to push, then you'll be silenced. In order to, quote, take control of what they're saying. But he doesn't stop there. So control platforms, stack rank authenticity, that's digital ID and so in a sort of soft social credit score. But then he says education, which obviously there's a big push now to incorporate the, you know, Holocaust education and the pro-Israel education into our education system. He talks about how cyber defense is key in this, and that right now all these enterprises are having to do it, but the government really should take over. So again, wanting to combine and sort of merge the big tech and government into one organization, essentially controlled once again by Israel. But most importantly, his whole point is that what he says is we need to, quote, use technology to stabilize the political system. Stabilize the political system. Silence dissidents. That's what that means. To stabilize a political system, you need to silence the disagreement within that political system. You need to have only one side able to speak, only one side able to put forward their view, because if anybody contradicts them or disagrees with them, now we have instability. Now we have chaos. We have arguments. And he literally expands on that and doubles down on that claim by saying, look at China, they only allow one narrative, by which he means the narrative of China first. What's in China's interest, keeping out, Western degeneracy, that sort of stuff. He's talking about total control. He's talking about total narrative control of the information flow. And that right now, China is doing a lot better than America because they have one narrative, but America has all these different narratives, all these different points of view, all these different attitudes and political outlooks. And that's dangerous because disagreement is instability. So we have to use all of these various tools, taking over the platforms, stack ranking authenticity, but of course starting it early on with education and propaganda in elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and college. And this should all be done through the government under the guise of cyber defense, because it's so dangerous, all of this inner fighting. And of course he says it's urgent. It has to be urgent because we don't have time to think about this. It's dangerous not to do this. You want people to die? We have to do it right now. Don't think about it. It's an emergency. It's urgent. All of these various narratives and points of view that disagree with me are dangerous. You need to give me the power to identify and rank people so I can silence ones I don't like. It's urgent. We have to do it now.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harris Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Talking about old anti-Semitism. The plague. The plague of European DNA. Tainted by this senseless, pointless hate. Or, you know, just people criticizing the genocidal activity of a secular government. But yeah, so one and the same, right? It's basically the same. These things are basically the same. Senator Ted Cruz says, quote, Christ is king means, quote, I hate the Jews. And Jews, not Christians, are God's chosen people. Senator Ted Cruz made several bizarre statements during an interview this week, slamming Christians who write Christ is king online and asserting Jewish people are God's chosen people while Christians are not. Quote, I'm really troubled by the phrase Christ is king being used. Look, I agree with the statement Christ is king. Wow. Okay. New headline, Ted Cruz admits he hates the Jews. Am I missing something here? Hold on. Senator Ted Cruz says Christ is king means I hate the Jews. Then Ted Cruz says, quote, I agree with the statement Christ is king. Folks, Ted Cruz just said he agrees with the statement I hate the Jews. Wild. Wild. This is the thing. They try to say that the context of Christ is king makes it anti-Semitic. I don't think that is even possible. Like, what do you even mean? The phrase Christ is king in context makes it anti-Semitic. He says, although it's being used online in a way that is meant to say, screw you, Jew, it's being used in a context very directly to say, I hate Jews. It's almost an online code word. Christ is king is I hate the Jews, he said. No, Christ is king means Christ is king. Again, it's like, how much do we even need to pick this apart or like explain this? Like, it's wild. You can't just say that. I guess because Jewish people are offended by it, does that make it anti-Semitic? I don't know. I don't get it. How did it become anti-Semitic to say Christ is king? Let's see if Ted Cruz can't give us a little history lesson. We'll find out. He says, look, Jesus was a Jew, the senator went on. And by the way, the twisted theology that says Jews are Christ killers, that's been used to justify anti-Semitism, to justify persecution and murders. Okay. Cruz continued to say that Jesus chose to go to the cross and was not the Jews that killed him, but the sins of mankind. He also noted it was technically the Romans who nailed Jesus to the cross. Like, the only people who ever talk about this are the pro-Jewish people. I've literally in my entire life never heard an anti-Semite reference killing Christ as like a thing that we even, that anybody cares about, that anybody talks about, anybody predicates their anti-Semitism on. Like, what are you talking? The only time I've ever heard of it is people like Ted Cruz. I think I have another video in here of another guy being like a rabbi being like, well, the Romans actually did it, but it was the Romans that, it's like, what are you talking about? Israel is bombing people on a beach that are only on the beach because they evacuated the place that Israel says they were going to bomb. What are we talking about here? Sorry, what are we talking about? Shlomo Kramer just said, I need to get rid of the First Amendment, and that he, as well as his friends like David and Larry Ellison, are using the Trump administration to systematically buy up the methods of communication in America so they can silence anybody that doesn't agree with Jewish supremacy. And Jesus died. What about the crown of thorns? What are we talking about here? It's so crazy. It's the same thing Netanyahu does. Where it's like, gee, it sure looks like Charlie Kirk was turning away from Israel and you guys were threatening him and then he got shot in the neck in front of everybody. That's kind of suspicious, don't you think? Netanyahu's just like, in the Middle Ages, they said they were poisoning the wells. Meanwhile, they're literally poisoning wells in Palestine and bragging about it. I don't know. I don't get it. I do get it. It's because it's like you have to, again, you have to believe that so-called anti-Semitism, criticism of the state of Israel, you have to believe, they have to have you believe that it is either based on some 2,000-year-old trope that happens to be true about Jesus killing Jews killing Jesus Christ, or that it is that anti-Semitism is just a contagion in European DNA. Mark Levin said that yesterday on X. Yesterday on X, Mark Levin claimed that all Europeans have anti-Semitism in their DNA. We are all tainted and poisoned. That means it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter how hard we try not to be anti-Semitic. We are always intrinsically anti-Semitic. It doesn't matter that the Jews have lived in America since its founding, totally unencumbered, totally able to live their religious life, live their secular life. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just that the anti-Semitism hasn't manifested and expressed itself just yet, which means it's just laying dormant, waiting for an excuse to pop up. So you understand that anti-Semitism should come with a death warrant, according to these people. That if you are anti-Semitic, that means you want to kill all Jews, that you don't want Jews to even exist. So therefore, it's self-defense to kill you. So if you're anti-Semitic, it means you want all the Jews to die, which means they're right to want to kill you. And if you're European, you are anti-Semitic, even if you don't express it, even if you yourself don't believe it, it's in your DNA. And an advisor to the White House is saying that publicly on X, Mark Levin. And we're supposed to just like think this is fine? This is crazy. It's dangerous. Which is unacceptable and, by the way, irrefutable. Cruz attacked journalist Tucker Carlson for promoting the notion that the promises in the Bible that God makes to Israel are no longer valid. Well, they're not. So there it is. That's the obvious reading of the Bible to anybody with a third grade education. Just read the freaking Bible. It literally lays it out verbatim, absolutely, right? Even if somebody's not a Christian, never read the Bible, they still know stories that disprove what Ted Cruz says. You want to hear them? Raise your hand out there in the audience if you've ever heard of the Good Samaritan. What does that mean? Who's the Good Samaritan? What does Samaritan mean? Oh, the Samaritans were a people that weren't Jews? Interesting. So this was a racial thing. In other words, the parable of the Good Samaritan was Jesus Christ telling his followers that it was more important to be a good person and not be a Jew. You're a better person, even if you're not Jewish, but you behave well, than being the highest, most exalted Jew in the world who's rude and ignores the suffering of his fellow human beings. That is literally the point. Like, I don't know what other point you'd get from that story. He tells a story where the Pharisees, the high up, arrogant, highfalutin Jews who think they own the world, walk right by an injured man, walk right by a man who needs help, won't, deign to, even look at them, let alone get in the dirt to help them. It's the Samaritan, the damn dirty, goyish Samaritan that actually helped the person. He's the one who should be exalted. Like, so what are we talking about? So Jesus Christ himself, literally like his entire teaching was tearing down this like racialized self-importance of the Jewish people and saying that the blessing of God goes to the people that follow his rules, the rules that Jesus Christ are giving. I mean, it's just crazy. Again, just absolutely insane that these are the people that are running our country. they believe this crap. Crazy. Really is. And of course, Karee Prejean Bowler is learning this firsthand. And, you know, to a really kind of brutal degree, as she, of course, was the Catholic woman. I didn't realize she was like Miss America at one point. Or she was Miss California. Phew. That's impressive. And she interviewed with Tucker Carlson. She was on the Freedom of Religion Committee. That was, of course, just a completely Orwellian named body from the government whose purpose was, in fact, religious supremacy and a total violation of the First Amendment. Again, just inversion is the watchword of all of this stuff. Let's go to clip number 10 first. This is Karee Prejean Bowler talking to Tucker Carlson. Let's watch.
She said that there were people complaining about certain things that I was posting. And then this was the worst. She said, you know, you posted Pope Leo and what he said. And you wrote in the caption, you know, that there's suffering in Gaza and there's a genocide. You know, you really shouldn't use that language. That's when I knew this is a war. We are in an absolute war. I said, I'm a Catholic. You're telling me that I have to censor my posts of Pope Leo, the Holy Father? I can't post what he's saying, talking about the grave suffering of the Palestinians in Gaza. And she said, you also cannot talk about Zionism. So Zionism, this is her words, is their right to exist. And so when you're posting about Zionism, Karee, you're saying that the Jews don't have a right to exist.
Huh? Mary Margaret Bush is her name.
She's a young woman. And I said, well, this wouldn't jeopardize my position on the commission, would it? Like, the president doesn't know about this, right? Because imagine me. I'm like, I just got appointed. I'm super excited. I'm passionate. This is like my dream job, to protect religious freedom. And now I'm being told I don't have my own. And she goes, oh, no, the president, no, don't worry about this, Karee, this wouldn't jeopardize. So I just kept posting. Well, then I got a call from the PPO office at the White House.
May I just ask you to pause for one sec? Did Mary Margaret Bush tell you who had called you an anti-Semite? That's a serious slander.
Oh, yeah.
Did she name the people saying
that? She said, I have no idea who it is.
Oh, it's just people are saying.
I think the people was Paula White. Let's just be honest. It was Paula White, I think. My personal opinion.
Okay, so
that.
Now I'm sorry to keep interrupting this amazing narrative, but for people who don't follow this, who is Paula White?
Paula White is Trump's pastor.
Okay.
That's who he picked as his pastor.
And she's a pastor? That's her official position? She's a pastor?
I don't believe women can be pastors, but who am I? I'm just some dumb mom in California.
So is she a Christian pastor, Paula White?
She's a Christian Zionist evangelical heretic, in my opinion.
Okay.
But yeah, she's Trump's, she runs the White House, the Faith Office, White House position. And she's on the Religious Liberty Commission with me and very involved in all things Bibi Netanyahu. And so I got a call from...
How would you rate her authority as a Christian leader?
Oh, I don't take her serious at all. I don't think she's a Christian leader. I think she's a crazy person, honestly. Yeah. I think she's a heretic.
I think for people who think you're throwing those terms around lightly or slandering her, I think it'd be worth going online and reading about her and watching videos of her demanding money from her congregation on film with some other Christian pastor in a foreign country. Clearly, she's got a complicated personal life and saying things that bear no resemblance at all to Christian doctrine. That I think it's fair what you're saying, I guess is my point.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so that's how it works. That's how it goes, right? People are saying you're anti-Semitic. We're really concerned about, you know, some of the statements you're making. They're worrying some people. I think it's fine, but maybe you want to delete that stuff. You know, the quotes from the Pope, they go a little far, we think. I'm just looking out for you. I'm just here to help you, right? But this isn't going to affect anything. No. Don't worry. Just take my advice. Meanwhile, they're just like, you have to fire her, Trump. This cannot be allowed in the Religious Tolerance Committee or whatever the hell it's called. It was literally a, you know, religious unification ceremony. It was a religious exclusion operation where only one religion was allowed to speak. It's just, again, beyond parody. It's beyond anything. Let's go to clip number 11 here, because this is Prejean Bowler talking about the response to just mild criticism of the Israeli state. Let's watch.
What we're getting at is if you criticize Israel, you're done for. They want to destroy you. And if you dare to speak out about Gaza.
Destroy you.
Oh, too. Yeah. They want to kill you. They want to kill you.
I got that.
Yeah. I've had some things. I'll just
Has
say
Dan
that.
Patrick rushed to your defense? Is Eric Metaxas rushed?
Oh, no. No. He's taking pride in his removal of Kerry.
So they're conflating. I mean, I would be delighted to remove politics entirely from religion. I believe strongly in separation of church and state because I don't want my faith to be corrupted by political leaders. I don't want my religion to be political. Jesus didn't spend any time talking about politics. They wanted him to come and liberate Jerusalem as a political leader. He refused and rode in on a donkey and then allowed himself to be tortured to death. So, like, I'm with him. Let's take the politics out. But they're the ones who conflate Christian faith with a political agenda of Bibi Netanyahu.
Yeah. Yeah. Who Bibi is basically an atheist, I think. Right? I mean, I don't think he's a religious person at all.
Well, he doesn't keep to Mosaic law. We know that.
Yeah.
There may be, you know, who knows?
I thought your interview with Mike Huckabee was amazing, by the way.
It was
very sad, though.
It was
very sad.
It was, yeah. I think he felt that way, too. He's been attacking me ever since.
Yeah.
And again, you know, there's a reason why Tucker Carlson is getting heat from so many different directions, including Donald Trump himself. Because he represents a break in that, you know, singular unified narrative that they'd rather be pushing. But Prejean Bowler there makes a very important point, which is if you criticize Israel, they want to kill you. You understand what I'm saying? That there's no, like, way to criticize them, not be deemed anti-Semitic, and not therefore be committing the only sin that exists, the worst crime you can, being anti-Semitic, means you deserve death. And how many times did you see during the Gaza conflict, massacre, genocide, like every month or so, they would post some, like the IDF would post some image of like a Jewish soldier standing in a Palestinian house holding up a copy of Mein Kampf. And going, look what was found in a child's bedroom. As if that made everything else okay. That it was like, oh, you're mad that we're bombing children in their homes? Did you know that they have a book we don't like, though? So I guess it was good. I guess it was warranted. I guess they deserve to die. After all, they had Mein Kampf, so. And it's like, I genuinely don't even think the Nazis took it that far. I don't know. Maybe I need to brush up a little bit, but I'm fairly certain if somebody was discovered to have some sort of like Jewish text, I don't think their entire neighborhood was bombed to smithereens. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe they were that intense. But like you understand the messaging being sent when they go to a house of a family they've murdered and then hold up a book of Mein Kampf and say, see all you people who say what we're doing is evil. Now, don't you understand? They had Mein Kampf. They're anti-Semitic. They deserved to die. It's clearly the message being sent. You don't deserve to die for having a book of Mein Kampf, one of the most popular books ever sold in the 20th century. But according to them, you do. But according to them, you do. And it's being spread everywhere. Again, this is all part of the Eighth Front War that they're running and operating. And it's just amazing how flagrant, blatant, and inverted it all is. It would be one thing if it was like, you know, when Tucker's saying people are having their, you know, they're conflating, you know, Christianity and politics. It's like, you know, if it was a bunch of Catholics like supporting the Vatican doing something, I can maybe understand that. But it's like the idea that Christians are treating Bibi Netanyahu's government as if it's some sort of holy manifestation that must be honored and adhered to. Again, it would be one thing if it was a Christian nation, if they were involved in a Christian, it's literally a plot of murder and chaos and brutality. And so it's just like, and this is what Christians are like crucifying each other over, not supporting the murderous regime of these Antichrist psychopaths. It's beyond crazy. Let's go to clip number three here. This is ADL CEO Jonathan Greenblatt, confused at the inevitable outcome of his own decisions. Let's watch.
We are seeing Jewish people, the Jewish state, blamed for the war in the Middle East. That is wrong. It is wrong to scapegoat. It is wrong to hold Jewish people accountable for something you don't like on the other side of the planet. And we really need leaders on all sides, in politics, running for office, podcasters, to stop with the conspiracies, to stop with the accusations, and then tell us, but we oppose anti-Semitism. You don't get to say you're opposed to hate if you're trafficking in hateful conspiracy theories. Everyone needs to dial down the rhetoric, to take a step back, and to start doing something to stop this epidemic before it gets even worse.
And it's continuing all over the country right now, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, at ADL, we focus on protecting the Jewish community. We have never been busier. Like our whole.
Yeah, I know. It's like the more you get your way, the worse the situation becomes for you. Isn't that weird? Isn't that crazy how that's the case? Again, you just go watch the Eighth Front War. At least five times you hear people in that video, and I can show you clips of Jonathan Greenblatt himself repeating the mantra, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. They are the ones deliberately conflating Zionism with Judaism and saying if you're anti-Zionist, you're actually anti-Semitic. So literally what they're doing is if you say, hey, I don't like what Israel's doing, they say that person hates Jews. I can't believe this person is blaming all Jews for the action of Zionism. You don't even have to say Jew. You can just say, I don't like Israel. And they will claim that you are conflating Zionism with Judaism because that's what they're doing. It is just kind of hilarious. It's actually kind of funny that literally it's just anti-Zionism that's rising, and yet by treating it as anti-Semitism, they are panicking and flipping out about anti-Semitism. He's like, you have to stop tracking these conspiracy theories. Genuinely, what is the conspiracy theory? Is the conspiracy that Israel exists and is waging a war in Iran, that it has outsized influence, that people like Jonathan Greenblatt, despite his constant protestations that he's American, he's not Israeli at all, goes to Israel, gives statements in front of their Congress where he routinely uses the word we to reference to Israel and what we need to be doing and where we need to be fighting and what we need to be employing to fight our battle. Nobody made you do that. I don't know what you expect. Like, you want to have your cake and eat it too, but you can't have it both ways. Sorry, this just isn't working anymore. I'm sort of fine with either one. I think actually the better strategy is to agree with him and say, you know what? Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. It is. They're right. If you don't like what Israel's doing, guess what you are? Embrace it.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How's it put in the salt? IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishealthcare.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishealthcare.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishealthcare.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishealthcare.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Again, everything the Trump administration is telling us about the war in Iran seems contradicted by basic observation, as well as the reports from people in the know. From Bloomberg, Iran missile launcher arsenal holds steady despite deeper strikes. The number of Iranian missile launchers has held steady after a week of unrelenting airstrikes, according to Israeli and Western estimates, indicating the difficulty of finding small mobile targets without having complete control of the skies. IDF officials said Thursday that two-thirds of the Islamic Republic's launchers had been destroyed. That's little changed from the 60% reported last week. Two Western estimates on Thursday also put the number of destroyed launchers at 60%, with one adding that as much as 80% of Iran's total offensive capability had been destroyed. But again, if they don't put boots on the ground, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Pentagon sends Marine Expedition Unit to Middle East. Oil spikes on ground war fears. And we also have troops as well as defensive battery systems like the THAAD being moved from East Asia to the Middle East, as it does look inevitably like this will expand into a wider conflict with boots on the ground. And of course, to facilitate this and allow it to continue and keep the lid on things here in America while they deliberately lead our country towards total destruction and at the very least a massive, massive expenditure of resources and even human lives for the benefit of Israel, a genocidal foreign state at constant war with the world. So that's where we're at. And the important thing to understand, I think, for us is that they don't care how popular this war is. They are not trying to win the war. They are not trying to convince you that the war is worth winning. Their concern is basically just keeping the temperature below boiling. As long as they can do that, then they're good. As long as the American people aren't rising up to drag them out of their beds to tar and feather them, or taking over Washington, D.C. in an Occupy Wall Street-style sit-in, bringing the entire nation to a grinding halt until we can, you know, get the war stopped. Like, as long as we are passive and not active, as long as we are complaining and not taking action, then they are winning. Okay? You understand? They are winning right now. We are on the trajectory. We are on the rails. And as long as we stay on those rails, they will win. It doesn't matter if 90% of the American people don't want something. They're doing it anyway. It doesn't matter if it's a suicidal endeavor that has no chance of victory. They don't care about victory, and they're going to do it anyway. Just so you know. And the very, if the very, you know, worst thing that could happen is, you know, the voters rebel and simply vote for somebody else, and that's perfectly in line with everything else that the powers that be want. They want the Republican Party destroyed. They don't want a sizable, powerful America First Republican Party that actually stands on tradition and constitutional rights and traditional values. They don't want that. So this is win, 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 win. Said it a million times before. They took over the Republican Party to take America to war against Iran. And in the effort, they will destroy both America and the Republican Party. And that's fine with them. Because what happens? You start the war with the Republican Party. The Democrats sweep in because it's so unpopular, so horrific, so retarded that we lose astronomically. Nothing else Trump wants gets done. They open the border. They give citizenship to everybody that got here before. America's destroyed totally. They either withdraw from the Middle East and leave it a chaotic mess, or they double down and stay in because the Democrats aren't so different than the Republicans really when it comes to these types of topics. So it's all going extremely well for them. You can just follow this line of logic and do it yourself if you want. But it's just, it's very important to understand that, like, you know, not getting votes is not a concern to the people making these decisions. They don't care if the Republicans, they want the Republicans to be out of office. They don't care. So that's not a punishment that's going to make them change their mind. It's going to alter their incentives against what they are now. People are just like, they're like, and I guess I am too, just because of the scale, but they're shocked. People are shocked at the, like, stupidity of America doing this, how we're going to lose, and how, like, politically unpopular it is. And again, it's shocking because it's so much. Like, it's like so bad. The scale of it is shocking. But it shouldn't be shocking because they don't care about the Republican Party. They don't care about America. They don't want America to win the war. So it's actually not shocking at all. It's not surprising. It's not a mistake they're making, is the point that I'm saying. It's just like, It's like being shocked that all of the immigrants are on welfare. It's like, what? I thought the immigrants were supposed to work and to fill up the pensions. I thought the whole reason we were getting them was because the pension system was insolvent. We needed a growing population so that we could retire earlier. And it's like, oh, did you think that? Oh, I guess these people are really dumb. They brought in a bunch of people to work, and they all just went on welfare, and they just kept bringing them in by the millions. These people are so dumb. It's shocking that this happened. Yeah, only if you actually think that the migrants were brought over to actually help the European people or the American people. When you understand that the whole point of the migrants coming is to destroy this whole system, to be drains on the society, it's not shocking at all. So it shouldn't be shocking that the Iran war is not going anywhere and that it's so deeply unpopular in America and yet being pursued with abandon by the Republicans. It's all in line with the actual goals, which is to destroy American sovereignty, destroy the ability of the American people to stand up for themselves by destroying the only vessel that even moderately gives consideration to the American people, which is, of course, the Republican Party. So that's where we're at. And all of it's being massively complicated and confused by the invasion of MAGA, the takeover of MAGA by the, until 2024, liberal Democrat Zionist who decided that the Republican Party was the more viable vessel for this war with Iran, which is exactly why they started supporting Donald Trump, which is why none of this actually contributes to the American people. This was always the point. I want to go to clip 43 here. I haven't actually watched this, but I think it's interesting. I think it ties a lot of things together. Okay, so this is Mike Pompeo, right, who was the Secretary of State under Trump, is a total diehard Zionist agent, and you can get into his stuff. It's crazy. And they wanted to set him up to be, was it Pompeo that Epstein suggested take over instead of Mike Pence? Who was there? Was an email where Jeffrey Epstein says, maybe we should get Pompeo as vice president so when it happens, he can take over. Talking about the assassination of Donald Trump and wanting to get a puppet in a position to take over. I think that was Pompeo he was talking about. But Pompeo is totally a Zionist agent. It's like beyond obvious. And he's talking to the Tikva Fund, which is a government-sponsored Jewish organization. And I'll show you the leader of Tikva Fund in just a second to tie this all in together. But this is Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, talking to the Tikva Fund about Tucker Carlson, who they obviously hate to a maximum degree. And it's sort of perfect that this is the case, because they could not have picked somebody that is less anti-Semitic, that is less anti-Israel. I mean, Tucker loves Israel and probably still does love Israel to a pretty large degree. I mean, he used to just rave about it and talk about his favorite vacation spot ever, and like he loves it. He's never said anything anti-Semitic, even in the slightest. All he's done is criticize Israel and some of the more extremist Jewish factions, which every religion has and which everybody criticizes as long as they're not Jewish. But religious extremism is bad no matter what flavor it comes in. So they hate Tucker. So it's like, it's a good illustration of like, what are they really fighting? Are they really fighting Islamists that are, you know, trying to kill Jews? Are they really fighting Nazis that are walking around with swastika tattoos wanting to gas the Jews? Or are they fighting the Tucker Carlsons? Are they fighting people who don't hate anybody, who don't have ulterior motives, who are simply telling the truth about what our country is involved in overseas? They could not have picked a better model, an illustration of who they hate and why they hate them. Tucker Carlson is the perfect example of how off the mark they are and what their, you know, outrage is really fueled by. It's not because they're all about to die. It's not because Hitler is walking around. It's because people like Tucker Carlson are popular, well-spoken Christian and just not willing to go along with the death and destruction that Israel demands. Let's go to Mike Pompeo talking to the Tikva Fund about the danger, the threat of Tucker Carlson.
In some sense, the Tucker Carlson nuttiness, the anti-Semitism that sits with Candace Owens and these people who just, I don't understand, I can't understand them, and we should reject them wholeheartedly. It's been there. It may have been more latent, and I think this rips the mask off it to some extent. Second, if you know, there's this thing that people call the MAGA movement. Sign me up. I'm part of that too. And yet I think what the president did was fantastic. When I think of MAGA, I think about people who believe Washington causes more problems than it solves. I think of lower tax. I think of the traditional Reagan model. That's most of what MAGA folks would stand up for. We didn't like open borders, right? And then there's this other piece. There's this piece that is truly isolationist. That's not the Donald Trump that I worked for 4 years. I never saw that. I saw someone who talked about peace through strength, who didn't want to go to war and didn't want to put big forces deployed for extended period of time. Those are all true things. Who wanted out of Afghanistan after 20 years because he thought that the costs exceeded the benefits. But, you know, it's interesting. He didn't pull out of Afghanistan. This is what people forget. Right. Like, no, he understood that you couldn't do what President Biden did.
I want to see Tucker Carlson dethroned. I mean, the weirdness of the second Trump administration is the way Donald Trump has surrounded himself with these people inside the administration and then right, you know, with Tucker Carlson adjacent to the administration. J.D. Vance is son, Tucker Carlson's son is working for J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance and Don Jr. are celebrating their friendship with Tucker Carlson. And I would like to see him. I would like to see him become an embarrassment to J.D. Vance. I would like to see Donald Trump attack him, not just call him kooky from now and then, but really now and then, but really make him off limits to everybody in the administration. I think once he's unplugged from power, he will look a lot less influential and a lot less attractive to people. I don't know that that will actually happen, but I can hope.
May I just add one thought there? Because Mike, I think those are all really good points. I think it's important. I think the administration has been too muddled there.
Been too muddled. They're so frustrated that Tucker Carlson got popular without them. That's the key thing here. It's so, again, the projection where it's just like Trump is surrounded by what, anti-Semites? You think that Donald Trump has surrounded himself in his current administration with Tucker Carlson types? What the hell are you talking about? Again, it's literal, just pure, unadulterated projection from them. They say if we can, you know, separate Carlson from power. Tucker Carlson's power comes from his popularity with the people. His power comes from that he tells the truth and is authentic. You can't take that away from him. They like think that they should be able to do that. They think that like because they don't like Tucker Carlson, therefore everybody has to destroy Tucker Carlson. Because Tucker Carlson doesn't play their game, Donald Trump has to. He has to do, not just, you know, insult Tucker Carlson. He has to wage war against Tucker Carlson. He has to. Like, what? Why? F you. Like, what are you talking about? Tucker Carlson is popular on his own volition. You can't control it or take it away from him. Like, what do you want to happen? Like, it's crazy. It's like somebody demanding gravity not exist or the sky not be blue. It's like you can't just make demands like this. You are not masters of the universe. Despite what you may think, people's popularity is actually outside of your control, and you don't have a right or the ability to dictate what's popular and what's not in America. The arrogance, honestly, all about Tucker Carlson, happy-go-lucky father of a million Tucker Carlson, fly fishing in Maine, is just like, just like a red hot iron in the back of these people's minds. Just like, God, he must be killed. He must be destroyed. It's sick. It's pathological. It really is. So tying this all together, that was a podcast by the TIKVA Fund, funded by the American government, with a former Secretary of State talking about how the life of Tucker Carlson should be ruined. He should be stripped of power. He should be, they don't say it, but him being killed would be nice. I mean, what do they say? Like a fox in the hen house, he should be eradicated. You know, in not so many words, the United States government is paying the TIKVA Fund to slander and demonize and mildly threaten Tucker Carlson. The TIKVA Fund, its leader is featured in the Eighth Front. I'll show you the full clip here. It's the craziest one in the entire damn video. Eric Cohen is his name. I just want you to hear this. Listen to this. Head of the TIKVA Fund, one of the major, this is clip 40, one of the major Jewish, you know, NGOs funded by our government. Keep this in mind when you think about Jonathan Greenblatt saying it's horribly anti-Semitic to blame Jews for what Israel's doing. Just think about everything I've been showing you today in the last couple of weeks. Here's Eric Cohen, head of the TIKVA Fund, with a message to American Jews. Okay, let's watch.
When I was growing up, the average American Jew never understood that being Jewish was the most important thing in one's life. The illusion of Jewish normalcy is simply impossible to believe in anymore, even in America. An era has ended. Since October 7th, the breaking down of our Jewish illusions has often occurred in the darkest ways. The deliberate rape and slaughter of our Israeli kin at the Nova Music Festival. The organized assault on our children and our people at university campuses across the nation. The rise of Hamas sympathizers on the mainstream left and Nazi sympathizers on the far right. The victory of a Jew-hating and Israel-hating mayor in New York City. The murder of Israeli embassy staffers in Washington, D.C. The assassination of Jews celebrating Hanukkah at Bondi Beach. We dance, they kill. We believe in civility, democracy, and the rule of law, and they traffic in conspiracy theories, anti-Semitism, and an improbable Tucker Carlson AOC alliance against American civilization, held together by the pathetic idea that the world's problems would vanish if only the Jews would stop causing them. American Jews are the wealthiest Jewish community in the history of the world. We can afford Jewish schooling once we believe again that it matters. Our Israeli brothers and sisters are fighting in the tunnels, on the streets, and in the air. As American Jews, we can help wage the battle of ideas, beginning with the clear idea that the preservation of Jewish sovereignty, including the defense of Jerusalem as the moral capital of the West, is the defining moral imperative of our age. The past 2 years have transformed the American Jewish condition in profound ways. We are rightly anxious about the current rise of anti-Semitism. Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The mainstream left and now the radical right seem arrayed against us. Yet we must understand the true nature of the crisis. The attack on the Jews is a revolt against the Hebraic civilization that began when God called Abraham to enter into a new covenant. The enemies of the Jews seek to destroy the West itself. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world and in our own lives, and that defending Jewish civilization is the only way to advance the larger cause of human liberty and human dignity. For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over. We can lament our fate, or we can heed our summons. We can shed our Jewish stars or wear them with a sense of purpose. But we must embrace the truth that the Jewish people are not normal. We never really were. And only by rejecting the illusion of Jewish normalcy can we resist Jewish delusions and Jewish despair. Ultimately, it is the study of history that is the only antidote to hysteria. And despite the dark days and tragic chapters, Jewish history is mankind's greatest source of metaphysical hope, that life is meaningful, that good ultimately prevails, that creation has a purpose, and that God's guiding hand is real, even if the scenes in this divine drama sometimes make no sense to the mourning human heart. May the great Jewish awakening continue in strength.
Is that what this is? This is the great Jewish awakening? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. So, just to translate here, he just told American Jews that their time in America is over and that it's time to abandon America for their co-ethnics in Israel. Just let's just clarify what he just told everybody, just not in so many words. By the way, can the crew, can you just scrub through it and put it on screen? You'll notice this guy is talking. He rocks back and forth the entire time. It's insane. Like, can you speed it up? Speed it up and watch. He's like possessed or something. He does this rocking and he never stops the entire time. It's like so distracting. I was going to include that in the Eighth Front just to just be like, what's wrong with this dude? Why is he just rocking back and forth continuously? He's got some nervous energy going on. Tikva. So again, funded by the American government. That was the head of Tikva Fund saying that this whole experience in America where Jews were treated well, were treated equally, weren't discriminated against, were able to be fully fledged members of the society without any special privileges, but without any special restrictions either. He calls that a pleasant fantasy, a vacation from reality, a vacation from their destiny. In other words, like, don't believe this whole, like, you're accepted as Americans, you're just as American as everybody else. That's a lie he's telling you. We're not the ones telling you that. Americans aren't the ones telling you that. It's the Israeli control structure, the power structure, the Israeli hive mind, which, by the way, if it's not a conspiracy, then explain to me how they all say exactly the same talking points every time, over and over, all of them at exactly the same time in exactly the same way. They all know to go after Tucker. They all know to go after Kansas. They all are now suddenly saying that Western society is Jewish society. It's all based on Judaism. It's a Hebraic civilization. Therefore, the moral center of the Western world is in Jerusalem. Therefore, if you're against Jews, you're against the West. Therefore, they're setting up the paradigm of it's the leftist and the Islamist versus the Jews and the Christians, which is a false dichotomy, because obviously the Christians are coming under massive assault from the Jews as we speak in the Middle East right now, as well as here in America, with the freedom of speech restrictions, specifically against Christian beliefs, as we saw with Kari Jean Poehler. So, and he conflates, he says, you know, Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, they hate American civilization, are trying to tear it down, but that the Jews are not a part of American civilization, but they are the creators and the founders of Western thought and philosophy, but they have to reject it outright and embrace their Judaism and embrace the destiny that Jews are not supposed to be normal American citizens. They're supposed to, I guess, move on from America at a certain point once they've gotten what they wanted. I don't know. I don't know what the implication is there, but I'm not the one saying any of this. So again, this is what I mean, like, holistically, when you look at all of this and you've got like Zionism, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, conflating that absolutely. And then the person who does that, deliberately makes that a key part of his whole program, then goes on TV and says, I can't believe people are blaming the Jews for what Israel's doing. We're not in charge of Israel, but you are the one who wanted to conflate it. You are the one who is advocating for endless support of Israel and silencing anybody who wants to criticize it, allowing them to behave abominably, causing people to hate them. Hatred that you transmogrify again back into anti-Semitism to then tell the Jewish people in America, everybody in America hates you. You have to come with us and flee. Do you get it? It's just all pure, unadulterated, ridiculous manipulation, inversion, subversion, projection. None of it makes any sense on the face of it. None of it is consistent. It is all schizophrenic and dangerous. And by the way, it all has to do with Israel, a satanic little banking cabal project started by the Rothschilds. In the first 5 minutes of the next hour, I'll go to a video by Zach Faust. In the first 5 minutes of the next segment, James Fishback for the remainder. Stay with us.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Yeah.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.